Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy, and tonight we're going to flash back to April 28th, 2013, the Warriors in the playoffs against the Denver Nuggets. And, of course, you remember how big of a deal for the Warriors it was just to get to the playoffs at that point. And to help us break it down is a longtime television analyst and the former NBA player, Scott Hastings. And, Scott, going back to that series, Denver had had a fabulous season. But the Warriors were, you know, kind of just happy to be there and had this young team that was on the rise a little bit. What were the Nuggets looking at when they found out it was going to be Golden State that they were facing in the first round?
First of all, I don't even remember 2017. Now I got to go back to 2013. I don't know about you. I would say this, going back, reflect. I think there was a lot of confidence in the way they played and the style they played, and you know, you had a smaller point guard, but boy, when he got going and got up and down the floor, he could really change the pace. They were better when they did that. But I also believe it was the year that, as good a season as it was, right before the end of the year, like I want to say 2 weeks before the end of the season, they lose to Danilo Gallinari. Tore up his knee, I believe, and just really didn't have the momentum and kind of didn't have the full-strength team going into that thing. And really, you know, now you go back in hindsight, that was the beginning. That was the start for, you know, what the rest of the NBA world got to witness here over the last 4 or 5 years was really kind of the start for Golden State and the run they've been on.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It was sort of a foreshadowing of what was to become. The game was Denver had a lead at halftime of 12 points, but then Steph went off in the third quarter. I'm looking at my notes here. He had 22 in the third, 19 points in the final 4 minutes and 22 seconds. He had 7 straight shots in that quarter. And when you look at Steph, Scott, and you compare him maybe to some of the guys you played against or played with, you know, what happens to a player when they get that hot?
Well, and especially a guy that's, now think about this, when it's a big guy, when it's, you know, back in Meyer and even before that, when it's Kareem or a Karl Malone on the block or a Kevin McHale or even Hakeem Olajuwon, the bodies are so big down there, and you could throw traffic around him. And what has made Steph so great, and I remember him, and Timmy, you do too, is rookie year, and I remember seeing his dad, Dale, after we had played you guys, and I kind of played against Dale a little bit, and I said, hey, your son's going to be a good player. But the way he moves, and you know, listen, you got to call up his games, his movement without the basketball is probably what the predecessors who invented this game had hoped you would see. I think that's what the Nuggets today, you know, when they're playing at their best, it's movement away from the ball. And then you throw on top of that the ability he has to make a shot. I remember a line Hubie Brown said my rookie year, we were doing a scouting report on some team, and they said, this guy thinks he's open as soon as he steps off the bus. Well, that's Steph Curry.
Yeah.
We've seen it. That's Steph right there. And like I said, I think that series, if, you know, and there's been some great games, even in the championship runs at Golden State, you know, Denver was always that team that would go in there and sneak at least one game every year from those guys. Even in the 73 win year, I think Denver beat them. One of those 9 losses was Denver. But that was that series, and probably that game, you know, was kind of the birth of the Steph Curry that everybody knows now, and everybody's, you know, wearing his jersey and trying to emulate his warm-ups and everything else. That probably, if we really look back at everything, that was the coming out party of the Steph Curry everybody knows now.
It really was, and it gave them the confidence, I think, to go on into the next round and steal a game in San Antonio and force that to six games, which nobody thought they could do. Do you think Steph's going to go down, Scott, as the best shooter of all time?
For this era. So, I mean, if we can make it smaller and then go, you know, and then expand it, I think this year, in fact, to be honest with you, I've been saying this for the last 6 years, that you guys have, you know, probably the two best shooters in the league. And then when Kevin was there, you probably have three of the top five shooters in the league. But I would say he's got to go down as the best in this era for sure. You know, you can start throwing other names. I mean, his dad was pretty good. Dell Ellis up in Seattle all those years. Reggie Miller in Indy, we got to see on the Last Dance documentary. You kind of forget about Reggie. And then you got guys like Bird, you know, 1 year led the league in three-point percentage at like 42%, and he was only averaging like two or three threes a game. And I'm thinking, if you know, the way the NBA's played now, if you got a guy who shoots 42% from the three and you're only letting him have two or three threes a game, the coach probably going to get fired. I'll say this, Timmy, he's as good as anybody I've ever seen, but I think there's a whole lot of guys. Reggie Miller, and I'm a giant fan of Reggie, but Reggie Miller was the first guy that I could ever remember that hunted the three. Now it's expected, right? We've seen the game evolve. The three is such a big part of the game. But back in the 90s, it really wasn't yet. And Reggie was the first guy I remember ever hunting the three-point line and the first guy that ever caught step back to that three-point line. So I still think he's a pretty good shooter. Dell Ellis, you know, you saw a lot of Dell Ellis games. That guy could shoot it too, but the quickness, the depth, the release that Steph brings, I mean, he's definitely in the argument of the greatest shooter of all time.
No doubt about that. Hey, I got to ask you one final question, because you brought up the Last Dance, and they had, of course, a lot of you were on those Pistons teams, at least one of those teams, and I always feel that they kind of get a bad rap a little bit because of the fact that everybody talks about the bad boy image, and that was there. There's no doubt about that. We all saw that. But I think you guys were so deep. You guys had depth at every position. I mean, that was a really, really good basketball team.
Well, you know, Bill Laimbeer is Bill Laimbeer, but probably should be in the Hall of Fame. If you look at what his career and his numbers are, he probably won't because no one liked him. But was a heck of a player. John Sally had a long career and a bunch of championships. Dennis Rodman was on that team. Benny Johnson was on that team. Mark McGuire was on that team. Joe Dumars is in the Hall of Fame, was on that team. Isaiah, of course. And the year that I was on it, that we won it in 89-90, you had myself, which I think was my eighth year in the league. You had David Greenwood, who, you know, West Coast,
David Greenwood.
Remember his name?
Yeah.
UCLA Day was a hell of a player. He and I were the backup bigs on that team. And Gerald Henderson, who helped Boston, you know, win a world championship when he was younger. A heck of a player, too. They had all these guys, the eight players that played primarily in the playoffs. Your 9, 10, 11 were guys that had eight, 11, and 13 years of experience in the league. You know, nowadays, those last three or four guys are, you know, rookies or G-leaguers or whatever. But you know, we had one rookie, Lance Blanks, who's an executive in the NBA now, and three guys that were near 10 years of experience in the NBA. That's what they believed in. And to defend them a little bit, they got the nickname Bad Boys, and they got to put that all on TV and sell all the VHSs and all that cool stuff. But New York played the same way. Cleveland tried to play the same way. Indiana played the same way. up and down the Eastern Conference, they played the same way. I just think that the Pistons did it more consistently and louder.
Yeah, louder, and they were better, so everybody saw them all the time. Hey, hey Scott.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. I know you're on time, and I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Two things. One, before Mahorn was a bad boy, and I said this on my radio show, did you remember the Bruce Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Rulin.
As what? Yeah. Johnny Most called him and the kid from Iona McMean and McNasty. Oh, Jeff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jeff Rulin.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they called them the Bruce Brothers. And by the way, I want to go back to that series that the Golden State beat. Wasn't that the series that David Lee got hurt in, like, either the first or second game?
He got hurt in the first game, and that was the Andre Miller fourth quarter game. And then the Warriors had to go small, and for whatever reason, the matchups, especially without Gallinari out there, the matchups favored the Warriors. And that's how they took that series. Yeah.
And I tell everybody that was, no knock on David because he was a fine player. But that changed the series, addition by subtraction, if you will, to me. When David went out, it once again set the whole blueprint of what the Golden State Warriors are going to become over the next 6 years. Started in that series, but it was that injury to David Lee that I thought was the most significant thing that maybe happened in that series.
The Warriors had to go small, and then they found out, hey, they were pretty good at it. Scott Hastings, always a pleasure to talk some basketball. I could talk basketball with you for hours. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and please, you and yours, stay safe, and hope to see you on the other side of all this.
You too, my friend. Hopefully we get to run into each other and the elbow bump each other at a game.
Absolutely. I look forward to that. That's Scott Hastings, and the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, the making of a champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to Warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy for Warrior Sound.